Are you ready to be flame and fire? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Are you ready to be flame and fire? Now, what in the world does flame and fire mean? Well, they have a little cranberry powder that they put out, and it's also strawberry powder and a few other powders. And you buy little packets of it, and it's called Flame and Fire by me. Because when you take it, it wakes you up and starts you on like a new day. You can get all lazy-clazy and not have a lot of energy and not feel like doing anything. And then you take a little packet of that, and it just gives you all sorts of wonderful energy. Now, you should be able to do it with your mind, too. But for lazy people, you take the little packet, and it just fires you up. So, what is the benefit of being fired up? What is the benefit of being awake? What is the benefit of living your life and being alert and on top of things and just being excited about things? The Discovery Magazine called us, that is, as Ellen and Sylvia and Ingeborg want to remind me, Rex doesn't do that, but they want to remind me, well, that's not really the magazine, that's the agency that is getting subscribers for the magazine. That's not really the magazine, it's just one of their telemarketing agencies that are getting subscribers for the magazine. It's just a telemarketing agency that's getting subscribers for the magazine. Well, if you're going to have a telemarketing agency getting subscribers for your magazine, you have to inform them of who their clientele are. Now, who are the clientele that take the Discovery Magazine? I would say people curious about what's going on in the world today, people very interested in the latest scientific news, the latest scientific happenings, with all the things that make life exciting and all the things that are turning people on everywhere. And also that the people who take it are literate. I mean, you have to read that stuff and understand it. You have to be aware. You have to be intelligent. Well, now, I spoke to the lady, and I said, well, now, we are already subscribing. And she says, yes, but we're going to be raising our rate, and we want to give you a chance to take it. And it's only going to be $2.65 an issue for the issue. And I said, please do not talk to me about the issue. I said, I subscribe to the magazine when my subscription comes due, and I usually subscribe for a year or two because I just do and then it's done, and I send a credit card account for the entire amount. And she said, well, now, you could change it. You could pay it by a portion, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there, and you could do this and you could do that, and, you know, it's $2.62 per issue. And I said, ma'am, you're not talking to me about per issue because I buy a subscription. And a subscription gives you a much better rate than to buy per issue, which is understandable. And so please, when you talk to me, talk about subscription. And then I said, ma'am, would you know, believe it? My associate just told me that she just sent in our renewal for the Discovery subscription. And the lady hung up right in my face. And I thought to myself, my goodness sakes, if she represents the Discovery magazine, that is the most discourteous thing she could ever do, you know, because she called me, and she wanted my attention, and I gave it to her, and she didn't want to listen to me. She had her pitch. She had her program that she wanted to tell us, and that was her flame and fire. Now, I'm sure that she has a written pitch. It's written in front of her. And if anyone doesn't fit into that category of what the written pitch is, she's just out. She's just out. I wasn't unhappy with her, discourteous. I was just telling her where I stood on my purchasing of subscriptions. You know. And she didn't want to get a subscription. She wanted to get a prescription in which she sold me the magazine on terms. And I didn't want to buy it on terms. I bought it one chunk of money for so many years. And that's the way we buy our subscriptions. And we don't want prescriptions where you have to pay by the issue and by the month and by the this and that. Now, flame and fire, wow, wow, she got me. And so when she got done and hung up, then the phone rang a few moments later. And Ellen was just saying to me, I can't think of what I'm going to tell Brian I want him to do tomorrow because I haven't had a chance to think about it. And so it was Brian. And I said, well, good evening, or something of that nature. And he says, good evening to you. He didn't expect me. He expected Ellen. And I said, and who is this? This is Brian. Well, Brian, we have things for you to do tomorrow. Are you coming? Yes. Brian, we want you to go out and take care of this. We want you to paint the shed. We want you to fix the roof timber on the oasis where the water has rotted away with corner a little bit. And we want you to do this and that and the other thing. And I gave him about 200 or 300 little items. And I said, and as soon as you get here, we'll think of a few thousand more. And he said, oh, good. Oh, good. You know, he's ready because he's ready to go to work. And he wants to do it. And then it's about the middle of our beginning of a rain. According to the weather people, they say it should have been raining good today. It sprinkled a little bit. And tomorrow it should rain a lot. And the next day a lot. We should have real lot of rain. And then Ingeborg and Ellen both said, well, what about putting the new roof on? I said, in the rain? I mean, do you want the rain? I want the rain.
Me too.
So then what did I say to Brian?
When he comes, it's just a very...
When you come tomorrow, Brian, the weather will be ideal for you to do all the chores you want to do. And when you go home, the sky is going to open up. Meanwhile, it's going to hold its load until you're ready to call it quits for the day. Now, is that fire and brimstone?
Yes.
Is that the way to handle things?
Yes.
To be in charge?
Nice.
To be totally in charge? You know? If you're not totally in charge, then get off the business.
The wagon.
Yeah, get off the wagon. That's right. Get off the pot. And if you cannot make a decision as to what it is you want out of life, you can't have it.
Yeah.
Now, Ellen was confused as to what Brian should do because she hadn't given it too much thought just yet. And also because she has so many other things that she's been working on. She just sent my visa in for Nigeria and all these other little things. And then I pointed out a little step, a little shortcut to Ellen on the computer that I use. And she says, I didn't know about that. And I said, it works very nicely. I said, you make a copy something, you know, highlight it, and then put Control C. And then you go up and you highlight the area that you want to change and just highlight it. And then over that you put Control V and it puts the new copy and deletes the old copy immediately. You don't have to go deleting the old copy because the old copy is already kaput, you know, it's already shot. And if you don't like what you did, what can you do?
Undo.
Yeah. You go where for undo? Edit.
Edit. Undo.
You go up to edit, and it says on the top of the edit list, undo. And it says, you want to undo the text, you want to undo this, you want to undo that, and you just undo it, and you can have it back. Now, that's kind of nice, isn't it? Especially if you make it a goof, you know. And I have undone many things today as I was working on several of the theses, you know. And so it's kind of fascinating, but be your fire and brimstone. Be your fire and flame. Get out there and really set the world on fire with your magic and with your wonderment and with your genius. We've been watching the Dog Whisperer movies, the videos, and in each video we learn another little aspect of training, not training dogs, but whispering to dogs. Now, he says he does not train dogs, but I don't know what other word you could use for it. What he does, he makes the dog feel that he has his proper perspective in any family. He makes the dog feel he has his proper perspective in any family. And this is where most people are in trouble. They treat the dog like a baby, like a child, like a human being, instead of like a dog. And when they treat the dog like a dog, the dog responds like a dog. If you make sure the dog walks at your side, not ahead of you, if the dog walks ahead of you, then he's in charge. If he walks behind you and dragging, then nobody's in charge. He's just making it tough for you. If he walks right next to you, and then how do you keep his attention? How do you keep his attention while he's walking right next to you? You have a second leash. And you have that leash, as they call the theater leash. It's to hold his head up. As they're walking their dogs in the dog training shows, they have this leash and they hold their head up so that the dog will walk with its head up. And the dog will only pay attention to you. If his vision flits off to another side because of a noise or something, you bring it back and hold it there. The dog wants to know what?
Who is in charge?
Who is in charge? Simple as that. The dog wants to know who is in charge. And if the dog doesn't know who's in charge, then what can the dog do?
Mm-hmm.
He just gets into trouble.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. Now, we might say the same is true for a child.
Mm-hmm.
When a child doesn't know who's in charge, it gets in trouble. I was watching my YouTube the other day, and there was a YouTube on the child trainer. The child whisperer. And so here comes Milan, Caesar Milan, to the house of this lady. And their little child has just a miserable little child, just an absolutely miserable, miserable child, not behaving, not cooperating, just being a terror ball for the house. And so Milan comes in, Caesar comes in, and he talks to the woman. And the child is standing next to him. And he's telling the woman, now we have to treat the child with respect. We have to show the child what it is we want from him. We have to tell the child that this is what we expect and do that by our attitude. And so then the child started saying some bad things. And Caesar, with his two fingers, nipped him on the neck, you know, like you with a dog. Just a nip, you know. It didn't hurt them. And the kids, well, you know, you know. And he did that maybe five or six times. And after a while, the kid mellowed out and stopped doing that. And then the kid started putting on a show, you know. And then Caesar took his dog training, or dog training, I don't know what other word to use, but dog loving gestures, and used them for the child. And the child said, what do you think, I'm a dog? And Caesar said, no. But when you act like a disobedient child, you are not a dog. You're nothing, you know, and so forth. And so it was in the cartoon. And it looked just like Caesar. It just looked like, you know, but it's very good. And I thought someone did a marvelous YouTube their job. But it's true. That same training that you use to train a dog to know what his role is in the family, you do with a child. And you have to get their attention. And I have known a number of women who have put their child on a leash. And they put them on a leash, and so that when they're walking around, they don't run out in the street or this or that. Well, now, they make a mistake. They put them on a body leash. They should put them on a neck leash. Put the child on a neck leash. And then have the child walk next to them and stay next to them and lift up their head and only pay attention to the mother, only pay attention to what's going on. And you say, that's cruel, that's cruel. No, it isn't. That's what the parent wants the child to do. And when the parent says to the child, when the child's off the leash, now, you stay by my side. And then the child stays by the parent's side, and the child never has to worry. Ellen went walking with her daughter, who had a couple of children, and the children were running all over the place. And Ellen said, oh, she was just aching and waking and quaking, and she was just concerned. And Mariella said, what's the matter, Ellen, what's the matter? Well, your kids, they might run in the street. Your kids, they might do this. Your kids, you might have trouble. And she says, Mother, that's not what you teach at the University of Healing. You teach at the University of Healing that all is in divine order. And I surround my children with my pure white light of love, and they always are doing the right thing. Oh, they're active and they're busy, but they know not to run in the street. They know not to play where the cars play. They know, you know. And so, but Ellen didn't know that her daughter knew these things. She only had four children at that time. She didn't think her daughter was that smart. But you see, her daughter knew. And her daughter trained her children not only at home, but out when they're walking too. And this is very interesting. When you want to be flame and fire, the thing that you want to do is to have a program and believe in it. And if you believe that your program is going to harm your dog while you're training him, don't do it. If you believe that your program is going to harm your child while doing it, don't do it. But if you believe that the end result of training your child to be a comfortable citizen of society is worth it, then do it. But I'm amused and amazed and so forth, surprised, when I look at each of your face, when I said, put the dog, the child on a leash, and right away, oh no, oh no, I never do such a thing. That's so terrible. That's so goddamn unlawful. You're bad. You know, and of course, you can tell where your emotions are. And you can also tell what experiences you've had. So, play it cool. Play it cool. And remember that if you think it's bad, it'll be bad. And if you think it's good, it'll be good. And it's very important. Yes. Okay. Have a lovely evening and know that you're flame and fire. And if you want to raise your kids with a leash, that's one thing. If you want to raise your dogs with a leash, that's one thing. If you want to raise yourself with a leash, that's one thing. But if you want to really do the right thing, first do it in your mind, and then it's already done. I love you. I love you. I love you.